Welcome back to the Behavioral Blueprint Podcast, where we will unlock the secrets of human behavior and empower you to better understand yourself and others. Today's episode is going to be about the detour effect and how it relates to you overcoming the failures that you endure and also how to keep strategies for yourself for betterment. We all have a simple understanding of success, and what that means to us is relatively important of how we undergo our lives and also check our self-esteem. All of the things are completely normal, and I want you to know that you are here for a reason. The things that you have, quote-unquote, failed are not failures. They're purposely built for you to have redirection in your life, and they're not just a simple subject or a simple thing for people to make fun of you for. It's something that you can be proud of. It's something that you can bring up in a conversation to further have somebody else gain recollection and also understanding for themselves for future any type of advice. You are a person that goes through the specific types of experiences that you go through because you were meant to go through it. And heavy on through it. We want to go over it. We want to go under it, but we never want to go through the emotions because of the fear mentality that I think a lot of people have with even addressing their emotions of themselves. Since the beginning of time, we have identified people as winners or losers. We have first place, second place, and third place. We have the champions. We have the losers. We have block systems that further identify if we can get good grades or not. We have societal structures that tell us that we're not supposed to do this and we're supposed to do that. And this way is wrong and this way is right. There's a lot of black and whiteness between failure and success. And that can go into so many different aspects of where we are as people in today. But the myth of being a failure or being in a space of failing is seeing it as if it's a negative thing. I'm going to teach you how to twist this into knowing that failure is honestly a secret form of optimism that can prepare you for anything that you need to go through. One perspective that I've noticed with understanding failure is seeing your relationship with loss and then also your relationship with not having something that you want. When I was younger, I used to play basketball, and I honestly thought that I was going to win every single game because I deserved to win the game, and I was special enough, and I was kind enough, and I wasn't going to hit a girl too hard, but I also wasn't going to hit her too soft, and I also was going to make the rebounds and do all the things that required me to go easily straight into whatever better opportunity at hand. But once you realize that you're not 6'4", like the 16-year-old basketball chick that you've never met before on the opposite side of school, it is a very, very rude awakening. You realize that failure is not just a battleground, but it's your form of looking at yourself. How much can you push towards the thing that is telling you no, or the thing that made you realize that you're not enough? Being not enough isn't a failure. Being not enough is telling you and identifying what you can work better on. Also, another perspective for myself from what I've experienced is relationship failure and parental failure and so many other forms of failure that people think isn't successful because they hear the word failure. Failure can be transformed and repurposed and reseeded and replanted into growth, into meaningful experiences that I can walk away from every day and know that they go into the better character for myself, and know that these things that told me no and no to all these better things that I thought could work for me, when in reality, they were supposed to tell me no to hit that ego for myself or to hit that insecurity for me to check it. That's where you can really angle yourself, because what your emotions are or what your relationship with failure is isn't going to identify to who you are as a person. You have to separate the identity of the emotion and then separate the identity of who you are. My name is Solana Newton. I know I'm Solana Newton because I know where I came from. I'm not the feeling of failure because failure came from something else. I did not have to be the thing that is failure because of the fact that I just made the action of failure. I am not a failure of myself. I'm going to give you guys a story time. So when I was 17, I wanted to be in a space of like doing the whole YouTube thing and doing the whole influencer thing because I saw a lot of people back in like 2021 become very quickly influencers. And it completely broke my heart because I thought that I had to be like other people. And I thought that I failed because I saw the Charli D'Amelios and the amazing influencers like the Monets and all of these people, the Monet McMichaels, shout out to her, become these actual hardworking employees and all these influencers for all these different things. And I felt like I was a failure because it wasn't my time. Your timing and your preparation for your story will include failure if it is something that you're supposed to fail in. If you're not supposed to be in this situation and you fail, but then you question and say, why did I fail at this situation? Honestly, if you don't know why you did it, then most likely you were supposed to do it. Further understanding why I felt like a failure at 17 and felt like I wanted to be a part of the something that I couldn't be a part of came from when I was back in elementary school, where I felt excluded from people whenever I was a kid because somebody didn't want to pick me whenever we were doing bowling or swing sets. And that's where our best point comes from. It's not that moment where that person triggers you or that moment where you fail at something or that moment where you get no. It's that thing all the way back from when you can't even remember because we got to connect the subconscious. Your subconscious is who you think you have to believe you are. Now, let's go into the detour effect. So, for example, the detour could be you getting fired from your job or you having to quit your job or you being in an unexpected place where you have to unfortunately be laid off from your job or your girlfriend or boyfriend just broke up with you and you don't know where to go and you feel like you didn't expect to see this coming and you have to pivot. It can be all the things that you ideally see as a failure, and that can go for anything. But my focus is understanding that those experience setbacks can help you achieve success. Those things that you see are not going to just be detours. They're meant for you to understand new skills for yourself. They're meant for you to understand the benefit of the detour. To know that if you didn't, let's say, for example, if you didn't go through that specific thing and you had to deal with the same thing 20 years later, you wouldn't know how to deal with it. And imagine if that 20 year later situation had way more weight to it for your life. Now for the second thing, building resilience and understanding adversity for yourself will create a skill that other people do not have. Understanding how adversity and knowing how to pivot for your life when things do get hard or when things can create strain for your life or your stress or your personal endeavors, you know that they are actually something that you can become from or you can learn from. A good example that I've understood is I recently didn't understand where I was coming from my emotional aspect of like my boundaries and stuff with relationships. But then I, of course, had my therapist break it down to me and tell me, you didn't do this because of who you think you are today. You did this because you thought that it worked prior. So think of that mindset or think of that whenever you make a decision because you quickly didn't even think about it. That's your subconscious making a decision for you. That's not you making a decision for you. You have to create a new subconscious for yourself because Your subconscious is 4 years old. Your subconscious is 8 years old. Your subconscious is 9 years old when they had to do the fight or flight decision that you think you're in now when it's not as stressful today compared to before. Also, a different perspective that I want you to focus on for the benefit of the detour is knowing that the no's are your blessing. The no's are the things that are going to require you to question and look back at your character and be like, maybe I could have did better on this. Maybe I could have did better on that. Maybe I could have did better on this situation. And unfortunately, a part of life is going to show you that, man, you got to fail at that situation that you really, really wanted and that you really, really thought that it was destined for you. When in reality, that was destined for somebody else. You can't hold on to certain things because, of course, that's going to be a failure. When you question what it means to not let go, because then that's a bigger fish to fry, honestly, because that goes into not wanting to let go of relationships because you're in a mindset of fear. When you're in a mindset of failure, you're in a mindset of fear. And yes, you can manifest fear. Yes, you can manifest failure. Ways that you can manifest fear. You can manifest fear by just joking about the fear to the person that you feel just a little bit nervous around, but you know that if they were right behind you, they would honestly make you a little afraid. You can manifest fear by just simply looking at somebody and looking at how they respond to how, like, your conversations or anything that you're doing. You can manifest fear by just being yourself. And that is something that we can talk about because evil eye is real and people can be afraid of you or you can be afraid of other people. Now, for the fourth segment that we have, I don't think I was listing out the numbers, so sorry in advance, but the fourth segment that we have is going to be coping with failure. And I always say you have to have strategies and you have to have goals if you want to do something that is real and that is tangible and that is something that you know will be put in books, that is something that is important to you. So the three things that I have for you that are important for you to know as a strategy and for a goal for yourself, please update me also with your goals of what you guys are doing for your goals with failure. Let me know in the comments. Reframe your failure and understand that it's a learning experience. Everything that you're doing, even the human environment, even the human connection, even the human experience is about learning. The failure part of your life is a learning experience because you learned from the thing saying no to you. You wanted it your way, but in reality, it was not supposed to go your way. Because imagine, even with you saying that you wanted it in your way, you still could have been wrong. You still might have not enjoyed it the way that you wanted to. Or you could have taken away somebody else's experience that could have taken it way different than how you could have taken it. Number two, identify what type of lessons you learned and then apply them, of course, into your future. Don't just, I did this situation and I feel kind of bad for this and now I'm just going to walk away and not learn anything from it. How does that build any type of morality or any type of concrete character that you need to have in your life when you deal with other people? There's people out here, 45, 26, 74, that don't even know the concept of coping with their failures or dealing with any type of detour in their life. I know 70-year-old people right now that will freak out if there is something, a change in their schedule. Like, people are not in the way that you think they are. We see these people today that don't have connections with themselves, so we see them lose sense of who they are. And last but not least, you need to build self-compassion with yourself and then also knowing how to remove yourself from the situations that are connected to forms of failure. Unless you do have a relationship where you think you can go back, you have to know when you have to cut the cord or cut the tie. Because the things that are telling you no are telling you no for a reason. the things that are completely heartbreaking for you to not understand and you don't know why it's this way are meant for you to know that you're supposed to give yourself not just compassion, not just love, but the adversity of knowing that there's another challenge right through the door. There's another opportunity right through the door. There are 7 billion people. So of course, there's going to be trillions of opportunities right there for you for the thing that you are meant to do. Mind you, that thing that you wanted to do and the thing that you're meant to do can be two completely different things. And if you do not have discernment to know the difference between the two, then how are you going to be beneficial in this world? For yourself, and then also for your friends, your families, your sisters, your cousins, your everybody. Hey there, Behavioral Blueprint Podcast listeners. I hope you're enjoying the episode of Understanding and Exploring Failure and the Detour Effect. I'd love to hear your thoughts, so please take a moment to rate and review and also comment for the podcast to have better feedback for what you like best. Also, I do have a surprise for you guys and also some bad news. I have to let you guys know that this is going to be the season finale of the Behavioral Blueprint Podcast Season 1, and I have a couple of surprises for you with my two babies that I have, my bonus episodes that are going to be there for you guys coming out very soon. These episodes are going to go over setbacks, success, understanding creative endeavors, understanding how looks on the outside shell aren't really like on the inside shell of people's lives. My best friend, Kaden, she is one of my guests on one of my episodes that I have coming out, and I'm so excited to invite her to my podcast. And also, I have my other two friends, Isu and Kylie, that are going to be going over what it really feels like to be a creative under the microscopic lens of being who you are. And I'm so excited. I cannot explain this enough to anybody. Like, these episodes are going to be insane. And I'm so glad that I'm able to create this process for everybody. This season has been such an insane learning experience for me. So I, again, thank everybody for listening and keeping the Behavioral Blueprint. Also, if you are finding any value for this episode, please share it with your friends and family, who also could benefit from understanding the benefit of relationships with failure. Also, the more the merrier. You can, of course, have growth and positive change in conversations with you sharing this with your family and friends. All right, let's go back to the show, and I hope that you guys enjoy the rest. Okay, since it is going to be such a special episode, I wanted to do a questions from my listeners, and we're going to call this segment The Why Behind the What. We're going to ask me questions and to know my better insight, and then also to look into some of the things that you guys are personally dealing with and how I would respond if I was in this situation. But then also, again, we have to make this behavioral, if we call it that, and have it where we understand where it's coming from with your behavior, and also if it's from your subconscious or where it's deeply down coming from. Now for question one. What if someone seems to be constantly seeking approval from others? What can I do to help the person or myself? So I would want to start off with first looking at the self-esteem of yourself or the person that you're questioning for, because that's where the approval really comes from. Understanding that you were supposed to be esteemed from your parents, and that was supposed to be a natural thing, that your parents were supposed to praise you and give you things and help you with the beneficial things that you do if you clean or if you do something that is, again, requiring a form of praise. And so many people today are not dealing with, I would say, sufficient or normal forms of having like a form of self-esteem. Sometimes it has to be built off of other people because it wasn't properly maintained or practiced enough in themselves. From the home, from the things that we, of course, were coming from. My advice with that is really to know the deeper why, like I just explained, but then also to act on the thing that is making you feel like you're validated from the thing you're getting approval from. it's not entirely the best option to look out for approval, because you don't know how people, one, are going to react or to take in what you're asking them for. But then also you have to look at, I'm not going to lie, like, how do you look in the situation when you are doing something that is requiring you to not be your most authentic version of yourself? It makes you question, oh, I have to be this specific version to get something out of that. And in a form, that's like a form of manipulation, because you're not doing the right thing for the other person, but then you're not treating yourself correctly because you're not even being real, because you want to seek the esteem from somebody else. Okay, question two. What tips can you offer to make setbacks more valuable for learning experiences in the future? That's a good question. I think the tips that I can offer to have a valuable learning experience in like setbacks or moments of failure or questioning yourself is to know how much you can endure. My dad, even though it's not healthy, he used to always tell me, like, get back up. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And I try to associate that specific mindset for things that I know I can endure and things that I know I can have a cap on, that I know I can go the full throttle if I need to. Creating empathy with yourself to know that the things that are stopping you or creating moments where you have to step back are things that are needed for you. You are a person. You're supposed to have moments where people are having you lean on their shoulder, because you're not the only person that has done the thing that you see as a failure or that you see as a setback. So to know that, yes, the world is around you, but the world has experienced what you've gone through, will help you realize, okay, it's not just the cloudy mind of its own. It's also what you have, but then also what you can be because of the setback of itself. Question three, when I fail, I tend to beat myself up. How can I practice more self-compassion? This kind of goes perfectly with the last question. So I would say practicing more self-compassion isn't just the only thing that you have to do. You have to reflect, and you have to know that what you went through, where you have to like be harder on yourself, isn't the way that you have to live your life. And also, it's not the way that you should continue to go through things. I feel like the things that I feel like I react big on, or the things that I beat myself up on, are things that are completely not just normal, but they are just said experiences that make me know, like, am I capable? Am I able? And honestly, I am. But I think the aspect isn't just self-compassion. It's also like acknowledging who you are and also where you come from, and also that it's not the end of the world. Honestly, I used to be, I would say, very closed-minded when I used to beat myself up. I used to feel like it was extremely black and white, when it's not black and white. It's extremely very multicolored. I would say life is very multicolored, because even with the downsides, or even when you fail, there are complexities with that as well. So when you know, like, you feel like you have to beat yourself up and show all these moments of questioning and failure, no, you don't. You really just have to look at, like, your character in the situation and look at how you know the situation of its own. I would even recommend, like, writing it down, like writing down the situation. If you journal, or if you do like a pros and cons list, do it, because then you can look at everything of what it is. Number four, what if a family member is overly critical of others but rarely acknowledges their own mistakes that they make? What should I do in the situation where I feel like my character is being tested? You have to really, you have to have a lot of patience. You really have to have a lot of patience with yourself, but then also with, I would say, the generation of what that person is in, or your family member, or like what they're going through. Because yes, you can be open and aware of what they're going through, but you can also not excuse the behavior. Excuse me. I had a family member that I just had to not quote unquote remove myself from, but distance was the better option because I wanted to save our relationship. And I understood through time that our relationship is so, I would say, mirror-like. And it made me think about how much I was myself, even with the person that I was with. Meaning, it made me think, okay, how much am I of this person? How much am I of this other thing? But then also know that that sounds like a control thing too. You can look at the issue of control with that person and realize this person is their own individual self. They are dealing with their own issue. I don't have to internalize it and make it seem like it's my issue because of the overcriticalness that you were describing. But then also, you do have to question where this comes from and also how you can respond. The best way of responding is knowing, like the internalization thing that I explained, to know where they're coming from and to also know how much it means to you. Is it that important? Is it that serious? I would also use or look up the word stonewalling, because you can do that when it comes down to yourself with how like people would throw words to you or put things on you. Because most of the time, if people are verbally disrespecting you, is it even true? Is it even real? That's something that I deal with myself. And then also like people spewing things at me. So I would recommend that. I don't think that there is much more that I could really say on that because I would want to know more. I low-key want to know the tea. Okay, let me stop distracting myself. Next question. Okay, this is the last question. And I think this is honestly my personal favorite question. Have you ever used a perceived failure as an opportunity to reinvent yourself? I honestly did, and I actually recently did. I dealt with a failure where I felt like it was something that was all my fault. And I think the reason why I even went into that belief system was because I dealt with it before. Like I dealt with the situation of having somebody tell me what I am and having somebody create forms of judgment where I feel like I was a failure. When I go through the moment of failure that I had, I made myself believe and be hard on myself and again, believe that I was nothing and that I was nothing that could make myself feel better. And honestly, this podcast, my friends, my therapist, my boyfriend, and so many more people have been forms of community for me. I think I didn't reinvent myself. I think I used my opportunity to lean on my community to have them reinvent me because they know me even outside of myself. They know who I am and they love who I am. Whenever you have difficulty with reflecting on like yourself, when you like deal with failures or mistakes or things that make you feel like you're not enough, go back to your community that knows who you are and knows your character and knows what your definition of love looks like. And then also what your definition of your heart looks like. I would say that using mediums and using forms of creative outlets would be the things that I would define as reinventing myself. And it made me understand myself better because like I said, like earlier, when you have to like look at the full picture and you look at everything that you've dealt with and that you've dealt with as a failure, is it something that you could read through and then apply it to your life to know, okay, I can't deal with this anymore? Do you like see if that's something that you could like assign yourself with, but then also know unpacking and dealing with the failure of what you're dealing with doesn't have to have you jump right back up and go into reinventing yourself. You don't have to do that. Honestly, I would even say you should soak and also know that you can, again, go with your community. Go with your forms of whatever you have as family. I think that that really does cover it. Thank you so, so much for listening to the Behavioral Blueprint Podcast. I hope that everybody has enjoyed this episode and has enjoyed this season. I am so thankful for everybody that has downloaded and that has reached out to us, telling us how much they love this podcast. I also want to give a special shout out to Noah. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast, Noah. And I deeply, deeply, deeply appreciate you. Whatever you do listen to this episode, please reach out. And I hope that everybody, again, enjoyed this episode. If you do want to follow our Instagram, it's going to be Behavioral Blueprint Pod, P-O-D, Behavioral Blueprint Pod. And again, if you have any questions, go ahead and follow our Instagram or reach out to our email. We would totally love if you have any type of insight for us or would love to review and help spread the word.